Turn with me today to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 27. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 27. We've been in this series fresh, and we spoke on the first week, the first Sunday of the year, about a fresh touch, receiving a fresh touch, and how the Lord has called us to touch someone else, someone who may be outcasted from the church or society or whatever. Last week, we spoke about fresh vision, how Jesus opens eyes, and he opens our eyes to see the vision that he has before us. This week, I believe the word of the Lord for us today is on fresh rest. A fresh rest. Fresh rest. Mark chapter 2, verse 23 to 27 says this. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields. And as his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, "Look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath?" He answered, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need? In the days of Abiathar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat. And he also gave some to his companions. Then he said to them, 'The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.'" I believe the Lord wants to speak to you this morning about rest. About rest. Incorporating rest into your life for the rest of your life. This is something that I've got to be honest with. I am guilty of not incorporating as much as necessary into my life. And we don't often hear a message like this, right? Because it's not rah-rah, it's not really inspirational. But I believe that this is something that can change the narrative of your year. Many of you have made New Year's resolutions in December or maybe in January or whatever it was. And I'm willing to bet that not many people made a resolution for this year to rest more. And I believe the Lord wants to speak to you about rest. How many would say you feel like you're just going all the time? You feel like many of us, you feel like you're just going nonstop, and you can't catch a break. I believe the Lord wants to speak to you today. Verse 27 in the verses we just read says this: "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." Jesus was telling them, to the Pharisees and to his disciples, listen, you got it backwards. It's not about the letter of law of the law. It's about the spirit of the law. It's not about all the rules and regulations, but it's about relationship. Amen? So today I want you to hear the heart, the love, and the spirit behind the Sabbath. This is something that we often miss. I said it already, myself included. In our hustle and bustle, we've mistaken busyness for productivity. But productivity only comes from a place of rest. See, there's a heart behind every command. Every law that God gave in the Old Testament, all of that was fulfilled through Jesus. So everything that Jesus said and does, and everything in the totality of Scripture, every command is for our benefit. It's for our benefit and not for our burden. Amen? 1 John 5:3 says, "His commands are not burdensome." So they're not meant to add more weight to your life. They're meant to take away weight from your life. His laws are out of love and compassion. You see, he created our bodies, right? He created our bodies and he formed us. So if he created our bodies, his word is an operating guide for how to best take care of ourselves and take care of these bodies that he has given us. Amen? So we see here in the verses that the Pharisees call out and they get angry at the disciples for plucking grain on the Sabbath. Keep in mind, they were really trying to trap Jesus, but they're getting mad at the disciples for plucking grain during the Sabbath. And really, this would have been no different than you or I making a hamburger on the Sabbath day, right? They were hungry. They do what you do. They ate. But the Pharisees said, "No, you're harvesting grain." And the word never said anything about harvesting grain on the Sabbath. It said, don't work on the Sabbath. But what happens that the Pharisees did? They have this rule from God, this commandment to rest on the Sabbath day, but they expanded it to incorporate all these things that meant work. You weren't meant to harvest. You don't earn any money. You don't do any of this stuff on the Sabbath. So they just extrapolated that verse, that commandment, and put so many rules and regulations into it that they're now calling out the disciples for feeding themselves on the Sabbath day. Pharisees made this long list of Sabbath keeping. But Jesus rebukes them in verse 27 and says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. In other words, we are not in bondage to a day. This day was created for our freedom. Let me just pause right here and just say this in case you wonder. The Sabbath was never moved from Saturday to Sunday. And we're not talking about a specific day. The reason that we celebrate and that we congregate together on a Sunday is because this is the day that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? This is the day that we celebrate. We celebrate resurrection when we are celebrating the Sabbath on a Sunday. But the Sabbath was never moved from Saturday to Sunday. So that's not it. So don't get caught up in, is it Saturday, is it Sunday? That's the letter of the law. But Jesus wants you to hear the spirit of the law. Amen? Through Jesus and the new covenant, it's not about a specific day, but it's about Jesus who is our Sabbath. It's about Jesus who is our rest. Colossians 2:16 says this, therefore, do not let anyone judge you. It's basically saying this, don't make a big deal out of the little deal. Don't major in the minors. Colossians 2:16, therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. So the law of the Sabbath in the Old Testament, it simply points to Jesus. It simply shows that this Sabbath, this rest is fulfilled in Christ. Amen? So today I want you to hear the heart behind resting. I want you to hear the heart behind resting and keeping a Sabbath, the compassion behind keeping a day of rest. I have to confess, I did already, I am not great at this. I am not great at keeping a Sabbath. So I'm not preaching down upon you. I'm preaching with you. Amen? I promise you that. I have to confess, I'm not great at this, but whether it's my ADD or OCD, I don't know, but something always tells me I got to keep going. I got to keep doing. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else there? Again, I don't know if it's the OCD, you know, the OCD, things have to be perfect. The ADD, they don't have to be perfect for that long. You know what I'm saying? So there's always this competition wrestling within me. And maybe you're like me and you have overlooked this concept, this commandment of rest. And see, when we overlook rest, it ruins so much of what we do and so much of who we are meant to be. Let's get one thing straight on the offset is this. Rest is not sleep. Turn to the person next to you. Say, rest is not sleep. Go ahead. Tap them on the shoulder. The next person, say, rest is not sleep. So wake up! Rest is not sleep. As we speak about rest, understand that rest is not sleep. You know, if you get tired enough, you will fall asleep. You will fall asleep. One time I was tired and driving, not a good thing to do, and I fell asleep at a red light. Anybody been guilty of that? Come on, be honest. Be honest. You fall asleep at a red light, yes. Fell asleep at a red light, woke up to all this honking and all these fingers, right? I didn't know what was going on. Listen, I woke up and I didn't even know what dimension I was in. You ever been there? Like, you're so tired, you're like, what just happened? Where am I? How are these clothes on me? Anyways, and you're just, it's crazy. It's this crazy time. Listen, your body, if it's tired enough, will make you sleep. But your body won't make you rest. Rest is not sleep. Why? Because you can be resting and still doing something. You can be resting and still doing something. Mark 2:27, we read it already, says, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Jesus says, the Sabbath is for man's rest. It is for your benefit. Keeping a day of rest, I want to tell you this morning, is for your benefit. Turn to Exodus chapter 20. Turn to Exodus chapter 20 if you have your Bibles this morning. If not, it's in the screen in front of you. Exodus chapter 20, the Lord has been speaking to Moses on Mount Sinai. He has been giving him the 10 commandments, these 10 laws to live by. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days, the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. So the Lord gives Moses and gives us this command, keep the Sabbath, and he gives us the reason, because God himself rested. Keep the Sabbath because I myself rested. Remember in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God is creating. He's making space. He's making time. The sun, the planets, the creatures, the waters. He's making man. He's making all of the things in this universe. And then God takes the seventh day and does what? Rests. God rested. Now listen, it's not like God in all of his majesty and all of his glory was just wiped out and strung up a hammock and, you know, sipped on some a pineapple juice and was like, oh my gosh, I'm tired. OMG, right? God was not resting because he was tired. No, in fact, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. So God was not running on fumes, right? But he created for 6 days, and on the seventh day, he bathed in his creation. In other words, he recreated. God created and then recreated. The seventh day was for recreation. I want to give you 3 things this morning. Now, this isn't an exhaustive list. I could really preach a 6-week series just on rest, but I'm going to give it to you this morning. God intends for you to rest. 3 reasons that he intends for you to rest. Number one, rest is for your recreation. Say it with me. Rest is for my recreation. So God gloried in his creation over 6 days, and then he looked back and he said, it's good. So since we are made in his image, since we are made in his likeness, Exodus shows us that we are to work and then enjoy what we work for. We are to create and then recreate. Are you hearing me this morning? We are to create and then recreate. We are to work and then rest. But see, people work, and never stop to enjoy the fruit of what they're working for. And maybe you're caught in that bubble this morning. You work, and never stop to enjoy the fruit of what you're working for. The kids come to you and say, Daddy, Mommy, will you come outside and play with me? And then you have to respond, Son, baby, I gotta work. I gotta work to pay the bills. I gotta work to put food on the table. Stop me if you've heard this or if you've said this. And then kids grow up thinking what work is what pulled Mommy and Daddy away. Now this morning, hear what I'm saying and not what I'm not saying. Work is a great four-letter word. Come on, somebody. Work is a good four-letter word. You need to work. It builds character. It demonstrates responsibility. It builds you up. You need to work. Somebody say, you need to work. In fact, you'll never understand the value of rest if you don't work. You'll never understand the value of rest if you don't work. Jesus said, come to me, all ye who labor, and I will give you rest. See, you can't come to Jesus from rest and expect more rest. Come on, somebody. That's called laziness, all right? And we cast that spirit out too, along with the New England Patriot spirit that's in here, right? That's the spirit of bum. We don't believe in that. We don't believe in laziness. We believe in work and then rest. We rest in order to recreate, to enjoy all that we are working for, to look back at our lives, at what we've worked for, and say, it is good. Amen? See, but there's too many of us who work to make money. Listen, money makes a great servant, but it makes a terrible master. God wants your money to serve you, not for you to serve your money. I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I hope you hear that. Because there's many in here that probably have it, 2 or 3 jobs. You ever meet somebody with 2 or 3 jobs? Do they ever have any time? Come on. This is audible. This is participation time. Anybody, do they ever have any time? Does it seem like they ever have any money? No. So maybe the problem isn't adding more jobs. Maybe the problem is that you're not adding enough rest in your life. A day of rest is to serve you. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you some ways that you can incorporate rest in your life. But I want to give you the reasons why rest is valuable and necessary for your life. A day of rest is to serve you. Jesus said that the Sabbath is for man. Growing up, I used to think Saturdays were Sabbath days. That Saturdays were the days that, you know, you didn't have to set an alarm clock because you didn't have to go to school. Saturdays, you know what I mean? Saturdays were for the boys, all right? The Saturdays were days of rest. And quickly found out growing up in a Hispanic household, no. Los sábados son para trabajar. Saturdays were for working, right? You woke up, there was a broom and a mop in your hand. Some of y'all grew up this way, right? And Saturdays, I could not leave the house until this house was cleaned, like top to bottom. I couldn't leave. So I would spend half the day just thinking about the work than actually doing it. So let me tell you something. Some of you think that your Saturdays are your Sabbath days, but you spend more time working and stressing out over the house being clean. Listen, if it stresses you out and adds more anxiety, that's not rest, that's work. I want to speak to you this morning. That's not rest, that's work. Amen? So listen, if you're whatever you're going to do, if you're going to mow the yard, or if you're going to shovel snow because we're in winter, at least sit down and relax for a moment. If you're going to mow the yard, at least sit down, sip some tea, okay? Grab your honey. If you don't have a honey, put some honey in your tea, and that'll be enough. But sit back and enjoy the time that you're working. Amen? Enjoy what you're creating. Enjoy what you've created, and then take a day to recreate. Work hard, but take time to rest and enjoy what you're working for. Rest is for your recreation. It's for your recreation. Listen, why would you buy a boat and never go fishing? Why would you buy running shoes and never go running? Why buy a gym membership and never go to the gym? Why buy that new car if you're only going to use it to go to work and never enjoy it? Why invest in your family if you never see them? Why would you create and never recreate? But listen, how many of us never take the time to recreate? We are plagued by busyness. Have you ever seen that? We are absolutely plagued by busyness, especially in the DMV, especially being so close to DC and government. We wear busyness like a badge of honor, right? Can you do this? No, I'm busy. I'm too busy. Look at my schedule. I'm busy. Like, we wear busyness like it's something to be proud of. Like, everybody's busy. Can you do this on Saturday? No, I'm busy, 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 but we're not going anywhere. We never take time to recreate. You never thought you'd be guilty of not resting, I'm sure. Again, rest does not mean sleep. You sleep to go to work, but you rest so that you can remember why you work. I say that again because you missed it. Rest is not sleep. You sleep to go to work, but you rest to remember why you work. Work was cursed after the fall of man. Adam and Eve sinned, and God says, you're going to have to work for your food. You're going to have to work for everything that comes out of the ground. Remember, God cursed the ground, and he cursed work. Some of y'all are thinking, that's confirmation. That's confirmation right there to quit my job. It's cursed. No. The Bible says that a man that does not work ought not eat. So it's not that, right? Don't quit your job tomorrow and say, my pastor told me that this place is cursed. That's not what I'm saying. Okay, but Genesis 3 shows us that work is cursed. That God says you'll eat from the sweat of your brow. You'll eat bread from the sweat of your brow. I could go for some bread right now. There's a bake sale after the service. You can visit that, right? But I'm not eating carbs, so I can't eat that. Anyways, you will work from the sweat of your brow. That's the ADD for those wondering. You will work from the sweat of your brow. Romans 8 says, all creation is groaning and is cursed because of sin. Verse 18 and 22 says that creation itself is broken because of sin. So all of work is cursed and work is hard. That's why we got phrases like TGIF, right? Thank God it's Friday, because it reminds us it's almost over. Right? And we have these phrases. We can't wait till the work week to be over so we can live for the weekend. I think God wants more for that, more than that for your life. And you may be saying, but pastor, you're working now. And you're right. Sundays are work days for me. I'm here at 7. I'm usually out at 3 o'clock. Sundays are work days for me. But I think there's a subtle difference that this is my vocation, not my occupation. You might got lost, but I'm gonna share what I mean. It's my vocation, not my occupation. There's a season where I had numerous occupations. I was a waiter, I worked in retail, made terrible retail employee, by the way. And so maybe you're in an occupation or in your vocation. Maybe you're wondering what that means, what the difference of that is. Occupation, the root word of that, occupy. You're there to occupy space. You're there to occupy time and energy in order to receive money. Vocation, the root word for that is vocal. It's a calling. It's a calling. And I'm not saying my job is better than your job. I believe that God has a vocation for you. But there's seasons of occupation, but I believe God has a vocation for you. Maybe some of your frustration is that you're in a occupation and not in a vocation. And we talked about that last week, that God has a vision for you. He has something before you that is not simply a 9-to-5 job, but it's something that he is calling you to. Some of you are living in your vocation, but maybe some of you are still in the season of occupation. That's fine. We all have seasons of occupation. I used to wait tables, come home, my feet felt like I was trampling on rocks all day. Listen, whatever season you're in, whether in occupation or in vocation, the Lord will tell you that you still need to rest. Whether it's occupation or vocation, there's no denying that certain times can bring fatigue, exhaustion, anxiety, times where you're just tired. You ever been just tired? And just somebody asks you what's wrong? Nothing's wrong. I'm just tired. I'm tired. I'm tired of being tired. I'm just tired. You ever been there? See, stuff manifests in your life when you don't honor God with your bodies and rest. Rest is for our recreation. God says you need to rest in order to have a relationship with me. You need to rest in order to have a relationship with your family. You need to rest in order to have a relationship with others. See, I think many people miss out on the joy in serving in the local church because they miss the blessing of resting. And so we see serving in the local church as just another thing on the list. Why? Because we're not resting and there's no margin in our lives. Fridays and Mondays, or used to be Mondays, right now in this season, it's Fridays, are my day off. And Emma is just excellent with helping me keep that Sabbath. She locks me down, okay? To my ADD, she grounds it, all right? She is type A and helps me in that. So Fridays are our days off. And sometimes we'll take a day and we'll just go to the park, or we'll go to an indoor play space, or we'll go and watch a movie as a family. We'll go with no agenda. We'll wake up and walk slow, make a breakfast that we actually eat, not just a Nutri-Grain bar that we take on the road with coffee, and then we're rushing in traffic, right? This is a day where we just slow down and enjoy each other, enjoy the presence of the Lord, enjoy time spent with the Lord. It's wonderful when we can rest and celebrate and enjoy the fruit of our labor, amen? Where we can take a step back and see the things that are really important in our lives. See, I believe this. Some don't know the reward of work because they don't work. Some don't know the reward of work because they don't work. Others of you don't know the reward of work because you won't stop working. And the Lord says you need to incorporate rest in your life if you're gonna have a fruitful life, if you're gonna have a life that you can look back and enjoy the fruits of your labor. I'm preaching to somebody today. You're supposed to create and then recreate. You're supposed to work and then rest. Why build a patio that you're never gonna sit in and enjoy? You remember Matthew chapter 6, when God is speaking, Jesus is speaking on the Sermon on the Mount. He's giving the Sermon on the Mount, and he's talking about the anxieties of life. He's talking about, don't worry about what tomorrow brings. Don't worry about what you're gonna eat. Don't worry about what you're gonna wear, what tomorrow brings. And he says things like, you can't serve God and money, right? You can't serve God and money. And maybe you've heard this during an offering time, as I have in the past, time to give. And he said, you can't serve God and money. And you're looking at that thing like, God, I love you, but I need this money right now. I need this money. God, next time, I'm gonna give next time. Maybe you've heard that during an offering or whatever, but I believe Jesus was after something much more. Yes, giving shows that you're not a slave to money, but Jesus was after more than that. Remember when Jesus says to the people hearing the Sermon on the Mount, he says, consider the lilies, that in all of their splendor, they're much more glorious than all of the wisdom of Solomon. Consider the birds that your Father feeds every single day, that they have a place to live. Consider the lilies, consider the birds. I believe Jesus was saying so much more than just consider birds, consider flowers, they're cute, they don't worry about what tomorrow brings. Jesus was saying so much more than that. Jesus was saying, look at them. I believe he was saying, if you would just slow down and recreate, you would see the lilies. You would see the birds, you would smell the flowers, you would enjoy nature, you would enjoy creation, and creation will testify for me. Remember Adam in the garden? Adam in the garden, he is doing his job, and I know you've heard this before, but ladies, Adam had a job before he had a wife. He worked before he was worth her, amen? Come on. Adam is looking. Adam is enjoying creation. God has given him a job to do, to name all the animals, and he's named all the animals, and he's looking at the bear, and he's looking at the horse and the lions, and they all had two of them. He's looking at the dog, and the dog had four or five of them, but none the matter. He's looking at everything in creation, and there was two of everything, male and female, and he's saying, God, everything has two except for me. And God grants him Eve and creates Eve from the rib of Adam. But listen, he had to look at creation to see God's glory. He had to take a step back and recreate and see, God, there's something missing. And Jesus says, listen, while you're chasing money and work, you're ignoring the birds that prove that I will feed you. You're ignoring the lilies that prove that I will water you, that I will grow you. What I'm trying to say is this. If you would look and just slow down, you will see the majesty of God in everything around you. All of creation is for you. All of creation is for you and I. But if you don't slow down and enjoy nature and creation, you'll constantly be in this mode of freaking out of what's to come. But creation itself testifies that he will take care of you. If you would just sit back and recreate and rest and enjoy the smells, enjoy the sounds, enjoy the colors, you would see that it's all for your benefit. And it just proves, all of creation proves, that he's Lord over it all. Amen? Lord would say, are you taking time to see what I've already done? The creation builds your faith in Jesus. We rest to recreate. Genesis 2:2, God, when God rested, when it says that God rested, that word rest in the Hebrew means to cease and to celebrate. To cease and to celebrate. That means to stop working and to celebrate the reason that you're working for. To celebrate creation, to celebrate the good things in life. Amen? Marriage is work. Can I get a confirmation? Yes? Marriage is work, isn't it? Raising kids is work. So we need to rest. Not from your spouse, okay? You don't rest from your spouse, okay? Some of y'all were already going there. I need a rest. I need a rest from this man, because if I don't get a rest from him, I'm going to be arrested for killing him. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that. You don't rest from your spouse. You rest with your spouse and for your spouse. Working a marriage and never, listen, working a marriage and never dating each other, never enjoying each other, never resting and recreating, working a marriage and never dating is like working a job and never getting paid. How silly is that? But we do it all the time. Maybe your marriage feels dry because you stopped watering it with rest and joy and fun. Go on a date. Find a babysitter. Go get paid. Time with family. Yeah, man, clap for that. That's fine. Come on. Enjoy your spouse. Enjoy your family. See, time with your family reminds you of why you work. It reminds you of why you do it. See, everything cannot be work, or you will get tired of your labor and you will burn out. You come home and you just, I don't want to see anybody. I just want to click on the TV and go into this mindless zombie-like state. And you think it's the hours, but it's really the lack of rest and recreation in your life. You need to rest. Listen, if I ask you when's the last time you've been on a date with your spouse, and you got to look at your hands and go, if you got to do complicated algebra to tell me the last time you've been on a date, it's been too long. Okay? Go on a date. Enjoy your spouse. Listen, that's one of the reasons I respect Pastor Tucker and Melissa so much. They just such people of character, and they put such good things into their life. And I knew for a fact, because I worked here, that every Wednesday morning they would go on a date. They'd take some time. They're reading a book together throughout the year, whatever it is, and they would enjoy. And I would always ask them, hey, what new restaurant did you guys go to today? They would enjoy one another and grow together. Marriage is work. It doesn't happen by accident. Amen? It's work, but you need to enjoy time to communicate, to rest, to enjoy one another, to remember why you're in this thing called commitment in the first place. You need to rest. Rest is for your... rest is for your... recreation. Number two, rest is for your redemption. The rest is for your redemption. I wanted to spend the bulk of time on recreation because we need to enjoy time, but rest is also for your redemption. Deuteronomy 5, 13 to 15, screen in front of you, says this: 6 days you shall labor. This is the same command that he gave in Exodus, but with a little bit added onto it. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. It all seems the same as the commandment, right? The same as Exodus. But read verse 15 again. It says, remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God has brought you out of there with his mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Listen, what he was saying is when you were in Egypt, you were a slave. You never got a day off. You were under the hands of so many taskmasters. There was whippings and beatings, and you had to work and sweat and work and sweat, and it was day in and day out, and you never got a break for hundreds of years. In other words, God is saying, I've given you the gift of rest for your redemption. It's for redemption's sake to remind you, you are no longer slaves. Turn to the person next to you and say, you're no longer a slave. Turn to the other person and say, you're no longer a slave. See, God got them out of Egypt. God got them out of Egypt, but it was hard getting Egypt out of them. In our day and age, it's no different. We have this taskmaster inside of our head that says, you need to be doing something. You always have to be going. You got to be climbing. You got to get the next promotion. You got to put in the overtime. You got to do this. You got to go to the next meeting. You got to take the kids here. There's always something to do. And God gives us rest to recreate, but also to remind us of his redemption. His rest tells us that we are no longer in bondage. See, he took the people out of bondage, but it was hard taking the bondage out of people. And God saves us, but we still need to be reminded that you are no longer a slave. You're not a slave to your work. You're not a slave to your boss. You're not a slave to that paycheck. See, he took them from out under the authority of taskmasters, but the taskmaster's authority remained inside of them. If you don't rest, you'll constantly be living in this hamster wheel of society. That there's more to do, there's more to accomplish, there's a next goal to set, there's something else that needs to get done, and you'll be living in this constant hamster wheel that says, I gotta go, I gotta do, I gotta go, I gotta do, and you'll begin to feel guilty about not going and doing, and all of a sudden, rest becomes harder than working. It's the voice of what I got to do now. There's something else on my list. What I got to do now. See, the taskmaster in your head and in my head, it tells us that there's no time to rest. It demeans us and makes us feel guilty even when we do rest. But God says rest is for your recreation. Rest is for your redemption, to remind you that I have given you this freedom. I have given you this day of rest for redemption's sake, to remind you you're not in bondage. Lastly, rest is for remembering. Say it with me, rest is for remembering. Exodus 20, verse 8, we already read it, says this: remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. See, we need to rest to remember that we're not in control, that God is. You need to rest to remember who is Alpha and Omega. You need to rest to remember you are not your provider. Your boss is not your provider. That paycheck is not your provider. God Almighty is your provider. See, if you're constantly going, going, and working, and working, you think that you are the ends of all that you have, but you're not. God is the source. He's the beginning of it, and he's the end of it. You need to rest to remember who it is that gave you all that you have in the first place. See, like I said earlier, my wife Emma, she helps us this in our family. She helps me get a day of rest. If not, I'll keep going and find something else to do. And she helps us. And I remember her coming back from an event of pastors, wives, and spouses, and her teaching me on this concept of rest. And it just kind of really convicted me in my life that I wasn't incorporating rest. And she was sharing the story of this missionary couple in Egypt, the ones who put on this event. They're missionary couples in Egypt, and they were going out every single day and working and spreading the gospel and showing compassion to the people 7 days a week. They were going out, doing and doing because they're on the mission field. They felt like they had to go and not waste any time, any downtime. Until one day, the wife, the woman who's giving this talk, she falls sick. And in prayer, she asked the Lord, why am I sick? What is going on? And she felt the Lord saying to her, you're sick because you're not obeying my commands. You're not resting. I wonder if so many of the ills that we have in life is because we haven't taken a step back to rest. You may be wondering what this water is here for and what this glass and bowl is here for. And I believe it's this. Listen, too often in our lives, we get a little bit from God and then we pour it out. God, I need you. I'm gonna do this Bible study. I'm about to preach. I need a word from you. I need some help, God. I need you to fuel me up. I've been busy this whole week, so there's no margins in my life. We get a little bit from God and we pour it out. God, I need a word from you today. Can you help me? And then we pour it out into the people around us. God, I need some help in my marriage. I need a little bit. Can you give me something? And we pour it out. And God, I need some help in church this week. And we get a little bit, and then we pour it out. And we're left in this emptiness, in this space of it seems like we're busy, but there's no fulfillment in our life. But God will say, if you would rest, I can use you from an overflow in your life and not from the leftovers in your life. I want to fill you up and continue doing it. But yet we get a little bit from God, and we pour it out. But God says, I want to overflow in your life. If you would rest, you would see that I have an overflow, an abundance for you. Amen. See, there's a reason God would say to his people in the Old Testament, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is because he wanted them to remember who it was that brought them out in the first place. When we rest, it helps us recenter and refocus on the center of it all, the Lord God Almighty, and we understand that we can minister, that we can live from an overflow because there's rest and margin in our life. It's that we remember who is the source of it all. See, true rest helps you hear from God, it helps you hear from others, and it helps build up your faith. You need to remember who is the source. You are not the source of your life. I am not the source of my life. God is the source. And he wants to overflow and fill us up to pour us out. And it's continual. It's continual. But you'll never feel that. You'll never see the joy of that if you don't incorporate rest into your life. I think this is a message for all of us. Amen? Amen. In our American society, we just go and go and go. And we work, right? We sound like the Rihanna song. Work. You know what I mean? We do this all day long. And we forget to rest. So how do we take a message like this home? How do we incorporate rest in our lives? I want to give you a few things. Remember that we rest for our recreation. We rest for redemption's sake. And we rest to remember that he's the source of it all. So how do we take it home? How can we rest? I want to give you a couple of things. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's just a few things that I felt the Lord speaking to me as I was preparing this message. How can I rest? How can I rest? Number one, take a day off. Take a day off, an actual day off. Not a day where you go and go to the DMV and do all the things that you need to do. That's work. Take a day off. Listen, if you're working every day of the week, remember, it's the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law. If you're working every day of the week, take two half days. Take two half days and enjoy rest. Amen? Enjoy some time with no agenda, with not a to-do list, where you just wake up and walk slow, as we said earlier. Number two, spend some time with Jesus. Spend some time with Jesus. In your day off, spend some time with Jesus. In your rest, spend some time with Jesus. Take time and just be in his presence. Don't do, just be in his presence. I have a hard time with this. I was telling our class earlier that even in my rest, even in my time with Jesus, I always want to tell Jesus something. Like he doesn't already know, right? And I don't spend enough time listening. Your life would, if you would incorporate this in your rest of just listening and enjoying his presence, it would be radically different. Hear from him. See, in the Gospels, Jesus always retreated towards a place of rest. He would always separate himself from the crowd and enjoy time with his Father. Amen? Jesus always retreated to a place of rest, not from a place of rest. He didn't cut his time short and say, oh God, there's a crowd, I gotta go now. No. He focused on his time with the Father because he knew that that was the supply for the demand that he was to meet. Number three, do things that you enjoy. Do things that you enjoy. Listen, on your rest days and days that you incorporate rest as a family, do something that you enjoy. Go to the gym, learn how to play guitar, bake, sew, read, collect stamps, underwater basket weave. I don't know, whatever it is that you like to do and enjoy, do that. Do something that restores your soul. Do something that restores your soul. You know you can't even spell restoration without rest. You can't. Try it. It's impossible. You can't even spell restoration without rest. See, some of you said, God, I want you to restore my marriage. I want you to restore my job. I want you to restore my family. I want you to restore my soul. And God is saying, listen, I will restore if you would just rest. Take a second, take a break and relax. Take time to enjoy something. Do something that restores your soul. Do something that you enjoy. Wake up and walk slow. Make a big breakfast for a change. Make some pancakes, eggs, bacon. Do something in the morning that restores you, not drains you. Listen, if it saps your energy, that's work. But if it gives you life and adds value and adds freedom to your life, that's rest. Last one I have here, say no if you need to. Say no if you need to. This is hard, especially because we're believers, we're Christians. We think we gotta say yes to every single thing that comes our way. And we feel guilty when we say no, right? I'm guilty of this, of saying yes all the time because I feel like it makes my life more productive. I can do a bunch of things. I can answer a bunch of questions, whatever. Say no when you need to. Now, I don't mean be a jerk about it, right? Like, you know, if somebody's dying in the middle of the street and bleeding, don't be like, oh, it's my day off. Sorry, man, can't help you. No, that's cruel and unusual. Even Jesus healed on the Sabbath, right? He restored. So don't miss an opportunity to spread the love of God and the compassion of God. But sometimes you just need to say no. There's so many requests that come across our desk and across our lives. There's so many dings and bells and whistles. Listen, turn your phone off. I put that there for me. Turn your phone off and enjoy your family. Say no to some things so you can say yes to the right things. Say no if you need to. It creates margin in your life. Sometimes you just need to say no to all of the requests in your life. Again, take a day of rest. Spend time with Jesus. Do things you enjoy. Say no when you need to. It's for the rest of your life. Could you stand with me? This is a message that you can go home and incorporate today. Some of you all call Sunday your rest day. Go home and actually rest. Enjoy your family. Don't worry about all the things you need to do. Don't worry about all the guests that are coming over. Rest and incorporate some rest in your life. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you provided us with the Sabbath. You provided us with your son, Jesus, who is our rest, who says, come ye all who labor and are heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Thank you that we can come to you and receive rest. Lord, but I pray today for each and every person in this place who feels plagued by busyness, who feels bogged down by the pressures of society, bogged down by the pressures, Lord God, of family, of marriage, of work, of service, whatever it is, Lord God. Lord, I pray that you would give them rest, that you would remind parents that they're not a slave to the schedule of their kids, that you would remind kids and show them that it's important to rest. Lord God, I pray that you would remind families to rest together and enjoy your presence, the source of it all. Thank you for this gift of rest. Lord, I pray that you would convict us into incorporating it in our lives. In your name we pray, amen.